What is up? Week one in the books. Pour one out for Quentin Mills and his Florida Gators. Billy Napier, get out. I expect it any day. What's up, fellas?
You're going to be waiting more than any day. It's not going to happen for a few weeks.
Got to go. He's got to go, man.
Well, I agree. Terrible. Yeah.
Nick, you get to quietly gloat down there as a Notre Dame fan. Smitty, what do you have to say for yourself? You're on the wrong side.
Yeah, I was. It was a good game. Notre Dame's defense, top notch. If you listen to the quarterback from Texas A&M yesterday talking about he has to do better, yeah, I think you have to play a little better than you did.
Nick, how you feeling?
Feel great. Yeah, I mean, obviously a lot of the focus was on Notre Dame offensive line that game, but they didn't let anybody down. I mean, I know there was a couple times where Riley Leonard was running a little more than he should have been, but if you look at their run blocking, they didn't make a difference whether there was six starts on that team or 50. They were getting 4 or 5 yards a pop and doing what they had to do.
Yeah, it's amazing weekend of football. I feel like I just watched college football for like 9 days straight. I know it was, five? But other than Florida, I think it was a very good betting weekend for all of us too. I mean, I know I cashed USC. I ended up on Boston College last night. Should have given it out. I felt it. Y'all talked me into DJU just being absolute trash, and he was. I mean, you know, people can make fun of Bo Nix, and now I guess Dylan Gabriel's the same thing, the whole check down Charlie. DJ has, one read, and if it's not there, he's going to throw it anyways, which is going to result in a lot of interceptions, or he tries to run it. It's just terrible quarterbacking.
Yeah, he looks defeated. I mean, you just saw him on the sideline yesterday.
So did Norvell.
Yeah, no,
I think it's one.
Norvell, I mean, when you got to pull a team to the 50-yard line and give them a rah-rah speech before the halftime speeches, that's problematic. He's 0-2. I said it halfway jokingly, but halfway seriously. Brandon Walker posted, I said, Florida may actually be better than Florida State, only for the simple fact that you have DJ Lagway to replace Graham Mertz. I don't know who's behind DJ Uiagalelei. It just looks really bad for Mike Norvell and his complex offense. So we'll get the toilet bowl at the end of November. It's probably to get one of these teams potential bowl eligibility. So it'll be more exciting. But yeah, Billy Napier, I'm sorry I had to steal the show. I said I got to make a rant. I'm tired of them. I'm done with them. I hope Samford beats us personally, because I think if Samford won, he'd be gone by week two. It's not going to happen. But yes, that's where my head is. I'm a Samford fan heading into week two. Realistically,
you've reached that point in your fandom. And I apologize for the mic issues. None of these guys told me that my mic sucked. Now it is fixed. It's going back to my microphone and not the camera.
Sounded fine, but.
Sorry for that, y'all.
Yeah, Billy's not going to get fired for the next few weeks. It's going to take an A&M bludgeoning as well as a Tennessee or Kentucky. The problem is they don't have a permanent president, which makes it kind of weird in itself. Does an interim guy want to fire somebody? Not really. Strickland supports him, so then you got to kind of push Strickland to that edge or fire him too, which would be the best case scenario. The whole team's in shambles, and then you got to worry about DJ Lagway leaving. But I will say this, I do like the Lane Kiffin pictures in Florida gear. I used to hate the guy when he was at Tennessee. He's done really well. He's matured at Ole Miss. I'd like to see him in Gator blue and orange, but probably not going to happen.
Lane Kiffin is that one guy that I feel like everybody hates him unless he coaches your team. Mm-hmm. It was kind of like that way with Tony Vitello there for a while. I feel like everybody hated Tony V.
Yeah.
And then people warmed up to him, realized he's not really a tool. He's just cocky. What were you gonna say, Nick?
I was gonna say, you could flip it around. I thought Miami looked great.
They did.
There's a lot where nobody knew what to expect from them. You just saw the talent that was on display and what they had on the roster that they brought in, but nobody knew what to think of Cam Ward being with Damon Martinez together, how those guys were gonna look. But Cam Ward looked like a Heisman Trophy finalist to me. Besides that one awful mistake when he tried to throw back and gets across his body over the middle. That's a mistake he probably made three or four times a game in his career the last couple of years. That was pretty much the only throw I can think of that was really like putting his team in danger. And after that, like everything was on the money. He knew where he was going. You could tell the talent running back, and what they haven't had recently is receiver outside of Restrepo. They had a couple guys who look like NFL type guys, and then offensive and defensive line just manhandled Florida on both sides of the ball. So that's very high expectations for Miami moving forward, especially seeing what the rest of the ACC is doing right now between NC State not showing up. We all saw the Clemson-Georgia game, which I'm sure we'll get to here in a minute. And then you already mentioned Florida State.
Yeah.
I think the big thing in that game, I was sitting with Q watching it, and we kept saying is the guys were wide open. They were trying to play zone, and they were just fine. And Ward could just stand there and just like tap the ball and say, like, look, which read am I going to go to? And then there was a guy over the middle. And that's, again, we said Florida, I think it was five games in a row last year, and they gave up a lot of points. Well, add another one on, they just couldn't, their defense just is not there. They're giving up way too many points.
Yeah, you run into the issue, like Smitty said, they were playing zone, but they were having communication issues of like who's picking up, who's taking the inside receiver, who's taking the guy on the outside. It wasn't there. It seemed like the few times they actually did play man, it worked out well. They were able to get some incompletions, kind of flush them out, and it did lead to the one interception. But the problem is you can't run man all game. You just gas out, and that's obviously problematic. And then also Restrepo, there was a couple pretty errant passes that he just made, like Superman,
That catch over the middle was
catching. Like, that's just crazy. Yeah, it goes as completion. It probably wasn't Cam's best throw, but again, it's still, they still gained 15 yards out of it, and that's a lot of credit to Restrepo. I mean, there's not many guys like him. I mean, Florida had it, and Ricky Pearsall, speedy recovery to him, by the way, but that was him last year, and now you have Restrepo this year. Like, those guys don't exist often on many teams, and Miami is fortunate to have a guy like that.
Yeah, they're going to be a dangerous duo, Ward and Restrepo. I was really impressed with Cam Ward, and he was a quarterback that I followed with at Washington State just because they were usually the late night game, the only one on TV. So it was fun to watch him. But I mean, if Cristobal doesn't have any coaching blunders, this Miami team could run the table.
Yeah, their schedule's set up for it.
Yeah.
Yeah, they got an easy path.
I say all that to say I just took him 10-1 to win the Heisman because I feel like if he is in a position, and I wish I would have bet it last week, but woulda, coulda, shoulda. I feel like they are in a position where if they run the table, he's going to be in New York City as a finalist for sure. And that Jalen Milroe and Jackson Dart, 16 and 15-1, looks really nice right about now. Around the league. Penn State, West Virginia, in the game that never ended because of the weather delay. Penn State looked legit, Drew Aller. And I get it. I mean, it sucked a lot of life out of Morgantown, those fans. I don't know how many came back after the delay, but they were defeated by halftime, it felt like, anyways. Penn State looks legit. You think they're going to be able to push, Smitty? I think you wrote them up. What did you think?
Well, I said, it depended on the quarterback play. That's been the issue the last couple of years with him. And, he had a pretty good game, 11 out of 17, 216, three touchdowns. They got the running backs. Wallace was the wide receiver that had a big game, and we know their defense is going to be really good. Yeah, West Virginia, I think it was in the first quarter, maybe at the beginning of the second, when they drove down and they went for it on fourth down and didn't get it. That really sucked it out, the energy out of the area there. And then the rain, I kind of agree with you. I don't know how many people came back, but just Green did not look good. They didn't really run the ball well. West Virginia, Penn State defense is just really legit too. So, yeah, this is a team that could win the national championship. I still got to see if Franklin can win the big game and if the quarterback play can continue throughout the season.
All right, what else? Notre Dame, Nick. You already touched on them a little bit. I know the defense looks tough.
They got to open the playbook up a little bit. I know it was game one, but it felt like it was a little vanilla. I don't know if that was a tribute to A&M also having a pretty good defense in their own right, but or maybe Riley. Let's kind of hold the jury out on that one. I'd like to see Northern Illinois. Yeah, they're really going to open it up there. It's going to take about 8 weeks to see if Riley Leonard and that Notre Dame offense legit, you know, just how the schedule landed. But, yeah, I mean, they, like I said, the Irish we talked about in the preseason and the week one preview show, the defense is a non-issue. They're going to be a top five defense. I think the biggest game, and Ken Eberle's on it, I think the Dabo Georgia game was spoke volumes in the second half. And I think that pretty well. It was kind of in the preview show, it's men versus boys at that point. You saw them again, they were hyped to play in Atlanta the first half. And then the men said, we're done with this game. Let's put it away. And that's exactly what happened. Dabo's going to kill his own legacy. He brought himself there. He had some good quarterbacks. He was able to win some titles. Now he's killing himself. So wherever he got himself is back in reverse.
Yeah, I kind of glossed over that game just because it was kind of sleepy. But I think we talked about it last year. Georgia is the type of team where they're just going to, like, Python you, Anaconda, just wrap up you all game long and then make you look like an idiot in the end and blow you out. That's exactly what they continue to do.
And keep in mind,
Klubnik looks like an idiot out there.
Yeah, third string running back starting. ETN and the other guy, ETN was suspended. The other guy, I believe, was hurt. So that just goes to show you, like, they can do it with third stringers as well, which is pretty scary.
I think Dabo, the Clemson and Dabo experience is going to be over soon. He'll end up at a Boise State or something and get them back to 12-0 every year. LSU, USC, this was one that I was glad to be on the right side. I was not a Garrett Nussmeier fan. I liked Miller Moss a little bit, but shout out, and I have forgotten his name now, number 10, the wide receiver for USC. He caught two big catches right there at the end, got the targeting call, and then, of course, the one that floated around social media. USC's dangerous, and I said it, you know, it's still at the end of the day, it's a Lincoln Riley team. And you've got a really good quarterback that's mature in Miller Moss. Sat behind, waited his turn. I think USC could actually make some noise here in the Big Ten. Maybe not to the level of Ohio State and Oregon, but again, Oregon looked crappy too. I'm not really sure what that whole.
Yep, a little frozen.
I don't know.
All right, I'll continue. Yeah, I think USC will definitely make some noise in the Big Ten. You know, last year they couldn't stop us on the show, let alone on the field. Lincoln Riley does a good job. I believe he gets a new defensive coordinator, really upgrades the defensive backs and the entire secondary. A better showing, you know, LSU, I didn't think they were going to be that great, to be honest. You know, Nussmeier did look better than I think maybe I anticipated, and probably Matt himself. Kid can sling it. Brian Kelly's fired up. I mean, he feels like they had opportunities to win the game, and they didn't come through. And that's what he gets paid to do, is to win national championships at LSU. And so, unfortunately, Brian Kelly's never done it. So I don't know if they'll ever get one with him. But I see where his frustration is. Like, you're at LSU, you have some of the top talent. But, you know, to kind of circle back to USC, like, I still don't think they're going to be – I got to see Miller Moss in front of a Penn State defense, in front of an Ohio State defense, and really see, like, even Notre Dame, like, that style of defense, like, can he actually perform there, or is he facing what we would consider as, like, a down LSU? So I think the jury's still out. I just got to see him play a little better team.
Yeah, flip it around. I was happy to actually see USC making tackles. Like, that was – you talk about a big step from last year. Like, that was their biggest problem, is they were scoring. There was never an issue on offense. They just couldn't tackle, like you said, you or me. It was just awful. So to see them tackling those LSU athletes, and now don't get me wrong, LSU still has athletes. We all know that. Oh, they recruit great. So to be able to actually tackle those guys one-on-one was super impressive. Miller Moss did what he had to do. Like, he wasn't great. He had some guys open. Obviously, having Zachariah Branch helps. He's the fastest guy on any field. Like, it's just crazy. And then – yeah, the LSU offense just wasn't as impressive as I thought. Like, Nussmeier was okay, not great. But you could tell they're missing like those top receivers that they lost from last year.
And, you know, we said, I think on the preview show, USC, you know, like you guys said, they're one of their major problems, their defense. And they brought in Lynn from UCLA over. And I think it was the South Dakota State coach that came as the linebacker coach. I might be wrong with that if it was South Dakota State, but it was a really good program. He brought in the head coach to be the linebacker coach. So I think he finally said, I got to fix this pretty quick. And they really did. I mean, really look good. Just a couple real quick notes. Kelly now is 0-6 in game one ATS since 2019. And then Riley now is 7-1 as a dog, as more than a 3-point spread. So yeah, USC's legit. They're going to be good.
Yeah, you touched on it. D'Anton Lynn, I think he made his presence known real quick in that game. When you just felt that this USC defense was not what they were last year. All right, and then the one last night, we talked about it, Boston College, Florida State, DJ Uiagalelei looked terrible once again. I mean, do you bench him at this point? Like, his confidence has got to be shot.
I think you have to. The kid's a senior. You got to see what else you have. Like, you got to see if the next two guys can be it. I mean, they had – I can't think of his name, but he was serviceable for Jordan Travis last year. I believe he's sitting on the bench again. Like,
Rotemaker. Give that guy,
yeah, give him a shot. Like, it can't get worse. It really can't. I mean, DJ, you missed three wide-open touchdowns late in the second quarter. And you just – like, I can't think somebody on the bench couldn't have made that throw. That's just atrocious. But I think another sticking point, too, that we have to talk about is not just DJU. That defense was supposed to be highly touted.
Yeah.
What happened? I know they had some draft picks, but they still came into it saying, oh, we're, you know, we're robust. We're still top end, you know, top 10 defense in the country. I'm not seeing it. You can't stop a halfback wheel route to save your life. I'm putting Todd Smith in the backfield, and he's going for 130 on six.
I don't know. My knees are shot, but I'll try.
He's got high knees. He's getting through. And they just looked dumbfounded. It was like they kept running the same play. They were just flip-flopping the play, and they couldn't figure it out. You know, linebackers seemed slow. Defensive backs just kind of seemed lost. Like, they couldn't contain now I'm drawing a blank. Not Calandria. He's at UVA. Castellanos. Like, they couldn't do anything right. So, I get it, right? DJ used the focal point. That's a quarterback. That's a position you take. But – let's focus on Norvell's defense here, too. They're supposed to be great, and they are just absolute dog.
Yeah, I'll jump in real quick because that's what I wrote down, too. I don't think it matters right now who's quarterbacking. I think the biggest problem with them is, can they stop anybody? Because this, again, was – you heard this before the Georgia Tech game. Their D-line, they have guys that could get drafted. Well, again, they gave up a lot of rushing yards against Georgia Tech, and then last night they gave up 263 yards. So until that gets fixed – I don't think it matters at quarterback personally.
Anything else that stuck out to you? Hats off to Elijah Drinkwitz getting that field goal to go up 51-0 and cover the 50.5 point spread with a minute and 57 seconds left.
I will
that
say
was
I was
a bit
little...
suspicious.
Somebody else did that. They kicked a field goal to only lose by 7. That was Stanford. So Stanford covered.
That makes mathematical
sense in the game.
It does. Yeah. They also did it last year, too.
Yeah.
It didn't matter.
And it made great sense because Nick had that bet. I had that bet. I think Grissom had the bet. That made great sense. Good job.
I get it. It did make sense in that play, but they did it last year as well. So that coach, he's definitely eyeing in on something. So I appreciate that. But I think one of the schools that I think is worth touching, and we'll see what they do this week. I thought Oregon should have hung a lot more points. I do know Dylan Gabriel looked like he hit his hand on a helmet pretty early on. I don't know if that was kind of babying it, but Oregon's so much better. Like, I was surprised to only see what it was, like 26 points they scored, 27 points.
I think 24, 14.
Yeah, and even, he still had like 400 yards passing.
It didn't make sense to me. So I think they bounced back, but it was a little intriguing to kind of see that stat line to only equate to 24 points. So.
Yeah, I think that's one that I might actually go back and watch that on YouTube tonight or something, because you're right. Looking at the stat lines, it makes no sense from what Gabriel did. I did see like somebody put on Twitter, I believe it was, his air yards only 4.2 per.
I watched the whole first half. I don't know why. I just wanted to watch Oregon and see what he was all about. I have a Heisman ticket on him. But, yeah, it was screen pass after screen pass. He never took deep shots down the field. The few times that I see him do it, he overthrew him. So, I think it was his comfort level. And then, yeah, he hit his hand. Offensive lineman got pushed back. When he came through, he popped his hand pretty good. But I don't know. He didn't look great. I'll tell you that, 380 yards, two touchdowns, and only a 56 QBR. That's a lot of checkdowns and not a lot of value adding to the passing game.
Well, you would hope that was going to change this week because Georgia, they played Boise State. Georgia Southern hung 45 points on them, and the quarterback threw for 322 yards and two touchdowns.
So yeah.
You really hope that Oregon's going to wake up and really push the ball down the field a little bit and hopefully at least score some points this week.
Yeah, I think it is a buy-low spot, and we'll go ahead and get into the week two top matchups. I've got Oregon and Boise State on there. I think Oregon's like minus 19.5 right now. That may be a pretty good spot to buy on a lowly Oregon-looking team. Because I do think at the end of the day, this was still the number two power-rated team for our rankings, or my personal rankings going into the season. I've got to expect Dan Lanning and Dylan Gabriel both respond.
You would think. Absolutely, you would think.
Yeah, let's see what their defense does too. I mean, they didn't have anything to go up against in week one. And now they get Sanji went for six rushing touchdowns in a game against that Georgia Southern. So let's see if they'll get a real rushing attack here. It's gonna look more like a Big Ten type offense that they'll be facing most of the year. So I'm interested in on that side of the ball as well.
Maybe an over game. Will they score? 101 points combined, Georgia Southern, Boise State.
Yeah.
Also, shout out Tetero McMillan, wide receiver for Arizona, to Tyro. I don't know how you say it, but 304 yards and four touchdowns on 10 receptions.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Greatness is how you say it. I don't know. He may still be running wide open down in Tucson.
Yeah, well, me and Smitty were on FaceTime watching like half that game because we both had the team total, and it was just like, okay, well, they might hit this by halftime.
Yeah,
it was a video game. I'm upset that New Mexico doesn't play this week.
I was kind of shocked that Arizona got off to not just a slow start, but a slower start than New Mexico. This game was close the whole game, and then
yes, it was.
I wake up and find out they score 100 points. It's 61-39. They went back and forth there for a while.
And I think you've seen that with New Mexico. I mean, against Montana State, they scored. And against Arizona, they were moving the ball. They were scoring. That game was close. The problem is they just can't stop anybody. So I think that's a team that keep an eye on whoever they play, maybe team points or things like that, or maybe even an over on that too. So,
all right. Well, let's go over our picks. Q, me and you are simpatico here with this. Florida was our best bet. We both lose it. 2-1, finished with 2 points. Nick,
Colorado. Yeah, Texas, 52-0. I told you, I said I thought Colorado
Texas
State would get
their job.
Yeah, Colorado I said I thought they would State get between like 13-17, and they got zero.
Unbelievable how they didn't score.
That's a bad beat. I felt
And so in my only other loss of the weekend was the Nebraska over, and I had 47.5, and they ended on 47. So it was so close to being so close to a perfect weekend.
And Smitty.
Yeah, the Cougars, Willie Fritz. I joked and said, I don't know who was going to quarterback that UNLV team, the kid from Campbell or Gordy Lockborn and the Holy Cross. So I'm not sure who quarterbacked there, but yeah, that was a bad play. I mean, the money line was really going up in the morning, and I was like, wow, I got that at a really good number, and I watched some of it. And Smith coming back, I think he's coming back from a shoulder problem, and I think he still has the shoulder problem. His ball did not look good. It's going to be a long year there with Houston. UNLV again, great program last year. That coach is really good. He probably won't be there too much longer if they keep winning.
No, if Sam Pittman gets fired, that's probably where he's going. coming back to Arkansas. Miami of Ohio. I can't believe, and Q, I think you took the, you laid it. What were they, minus two, two and a half, three, something? Northwestern, couldn't believe that line was that short. I meant to hop on it with you, but didn't.
Hey, get on it this week. I like it again.
Ugly, ugly.
Northwestern.
High school football, Earl Pound, good defense. Beautiful stadium, though. And Q were saying, just keep it there. Don't build a new one. Just upgrade. That was gorgeous. Yeah. Now, you got the high school bleachers there and everything. I mean, figure that out. But, yeah, that was nice.
Did everybody see Brian Kelly's little
tantrum?
Yeah, I'm assuming slamming the table.
Yeah, he was talking about that. We had two instances. You had the Kelly slamming, and yeah, Billy Napier couldn't even open.
He couldn't open up the water bottle. Yeah,
it was a bad day for pressers. That's
and he's talking about basements. I love Q on. I think social going. And does he know most Florida homes don't have basements?
Yeah, it was bad. Yeah, you know it's the pressers weren't kind to multiple coaches this week. I'm sure there was some other footage. Matt, it's at Arkansas. It's just things keep going in and out there. It's like the Arkansas Razorbacks offense. But you know, hey, one of the things I'll say while he's loading back up, join our Discord. It's free to join. We've been posting it. Nick, myself, Matt,
we'll keep post losing, a link
kind of every other day. Join the Discord. We started with, I think, 30 people. It's up to 150. That's where our plays are posted. We're going to post our records and stuff on Twitter after everybody has a chance to see it. It's kind of like a free VIP page. So if you want our picks, go to the Discord. You can find it on any of our timelines. That's where our plays are going to be. We're no longer going to be posting them on Twitter before game time. So we want to kind of put those in a separate area. So that's where they're going to be. We have picks and then a chat. So feel free to chat and then you can find our picks just to make it easy. So join the Discord. Check out the website, www.collegefootballinsiders.com for the great Parker, Twitterless Nick, and Matt's creation.
I don't know what happened. Nick had Twitter, and then I think he
got rid of it. In.
Got off.
Just like the guy that was supposed to eat shit for Florida State.
Yeah, we had that too.
Hey, real quick, can I just throw out? I sent it to you guys last night. So, and I played. I did not post these, but I did play the first quarter unders. And if you look at a lot of the big games this past week in the first quarter, like the BC Florida State game, that was 0-0. Clemson Georgia was also 0 points. Notre Dame and Texas A&M was a combined 6 points. Penn State was a 0. Even some of the other bigger games like Texas Colorado with a lot of points by Texas, not so much Colorado, but that was only 7. So just kind of keep an eye on that. I did a couple and I didn't post, but I kept rolling that with some of those games and they were coming through. So I don't know. I mean, why do you guys have an idea? Just first week jitters, just the offense is not clicking. You think that's going to change? Nick's kind of shaking his head. Nick, do you think that could change here in week two?
Yeah, I think it will. I think in a lot of the big games too, obviously you have a lot of the matchups, especially like Notre Dame, A&M, you have Florida, Miami, like some of those big ones were better defenses and offenses to start the year. I think that's half of it. And I do think you also look at the Texas game you mentioned. They have Michigan next week or like this coming week. So they didn't want to show a whole lot. So I think that is part of it. It's just kind of first week, whether it's jitters or just scripting kind of like the 10 to 15 plays that you want and then kind of going from there. But yeah, I expect those numbers to kind of go up moving forward.
All right. Well, sorry for the technical issues. Sounds like Q stepped in and did great.
Appreciate
I just
it.
Hope my face wasn't stupid.
Nah,
when are you guys doing walking bets? When we grow a pair of I'm not gonna say it.
Always the Sean Alvarez comments. I love them.
The walking bets. The
show. Usually he's got two or three. He's slack today.
Can I
Sean, I did look up those overalls for Texas and A&M, but they were like $90. I wasn't going to spend that. Sorry.
Sean, just buy them and send them to the show.
But I did. I wanted to tell you, I did look it up to see if it was I could find a cheaper pair. I would have bought them and worn them on the show, but they were a little expensive. So anybody that has a pair, you can send them to me. I'll wear them.
All right, guys. Thanks for joining us. We will be back later this week for the week 2 preview show. Until then, for Smitty, Nick, Q, and myself, cheers. College football's back. See you later this week.